Heichal Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is tape number 74 in the series, entitled What to Do About Distracting Thoughts During Prayer. This class was recorded live at Heichal Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, on the 29th of Sivan, 5759.
Morning. Even though, as you mentioned, I have now a good excuse why I'm late, I won't use it. I apologize for today's delay. I was guilty this time. It's wonderful to be back after my personal transition from a state where the metaphors and relationships discussed at this table were somewhat hypothetical to a position where they have become, thank God, a concrete reality. Someone came over to me a little while ago and said that if you need advice for marriage and relationships, you'll do well listening to the Tanya tapes. Tale of Two Souls. It was a compliment pleasant to hear, but it was also a reminder that teaching others about how to deal with their life's challenges and inspiring others in their own journey is sometimes much, much easier than personalizing it and internalizing it in your own life. It's very easy to be objective about someone else's problems and challenges and struggles, and often we have the solutions for everyone's problems besides our own. In Yiddish, there's an expression, the shuster geht barfuß. The shoemaker goes barefoot. He can provide everyone with shoes, but for his own shoes, it's difficult sometimes. So I want to bless myself and bless all of you to continue to have the serenity and the courage and the strength to learn Tanya, to meditate on it, and most importantly to take on the challenge, and it's difficult to internalize it and integrate it into our personal day-to-day lives with all the challenges and struggles involved. And I also want to utilize the opportunity to express at this occasion my profound gratitude to all of you, to all of the participants in the class, in the Tanya class, A Tale of Two Souls, who have during the last 2.5 years or so allowed me the opportunity to internalize in my personal life the message and the vision of the Alter Rebbe in a awesomely new, meaningful and powerful way, which I've not known before. For that I will remain eternally thankful to all of you. And Mazel Tov. Okay, we're in the middle of chapter 28. Where the Alter Rebbe is dealing with various types of thoughts, urges, instincts, impulses that make sure to make their way into your mind and your heart during a davening, a prayer, a learning experience. One of the Rebbes, the Rebbe Maharash, the fourth Rebbe in the Chabad dynasty, would often request from his Hasidim that during business, even in the marketplace, they should stop for a few moments and meditate in the middle of the day about issues relating to godliness, spirituality, their mission in life, their purpose, why they were created, and so forth. And once one of the Hasidim turned to him and said, Rebbe, I don't understand. How is it possible? You're in Gol, I'm engulfed, I'm enmeshed in my business transactions. How is it possible that I should stop all of it and interrupt it by meditating upon the divine truth and so on and so forth? So the Rebbe said, well, the converse situation is very possible. You're in the middle of Shemini Esrei, and you're engulfed and enmeshed in meditating on the concept of Shemini Esrei, and suddenly you find yourself thinking about every appointment you have to make, about every bill you have to pay, about every problem and situation that's confronting you in your life. So if that's possible, why can't you do the opposite? So this is a very common phenomenon, too common, that a human being, a Jew, begins davening, begins learning, and then suddenly all types of thoughts, machshavei zaris, extraneous alien thoughts, which might not be negative per se, but are totally alien to the spiritual, meditative, emotional experience of davening or learning, making their way into his mind and his heart. What is even worse? He can suddenly come to experience his all types of impulses, cravings, lusts, urges that are totally undesirable, unhealthy, maybe outright negative. How does one deal with them? The advice that Alter Rebbe offers in the beginning of chapter 28 is, do not pay attention to them. Do not deal with them in a positive way. Do not engage in them, do not entertain them. Divert your attention and your mind from them. Don't be foolish, says the Alter Rebbe, to engage in a process known as the sublimation of the negative emotional impulses in a person's life. That is a path, but it's a path which is not relevant to the ordinary man, certainly not in the midst of his davening when he is experiencing these impulses. He is too subjectively involved, as we have discussed at length in the previous class. But here a major problem arises. The issue of frustration, depression, worthlessness that the human being experiences. You finally began davening. You find yourself in a sacred space, internally and externally. In a sacred place, perhaps at a sacred time, you're davening. And it's going well. You know, we all have that experience that sometimes the davening is going well. You're listening to what you're saying. You're emotionally involved. You're enthusiastic about it. Or the learning is going well, and so on and so forth. And everything looks so marvelous, so beautiful, so promising. And suddenly, trach! This abhorrent, repulsive impulse makes its way straight into your mind and takes you over. On one level, or another type of trach, your mamish, like in middle of deep meditation, you feel you're experiencing godliness and spirituality, and it's very relevant, and suddenly 5 minutes later you find that you were b'chol thinking about what's happening with your stocks in the stock market. Or how are you going to manage to get rid of all the tickets that you have to pay? And what this can do to a person is demonstrate to him that everything he was meditating on, thinking, feeling previously was essentially false. It was merely an illusion, a fantasy, a dream. But it's really worthless and insignificant. And the greatest demonstration of that truth is that 5 moments later, he's thinking about something totally different. And this issue the Alter Rebbe will deal with in the continuation of this chapter. Let's learn inside. The two dots, Daf Lamed Hei Amid Aleph, page 69. It's close to the beginning of Perek Chavches. Ach afal pikein, nevertheless, notwithstanding the fact that the Jew experiences these types of thoughts, impulses, and urges during his davening, al yipel libe bekirbe, he must not be downhearted. Li es mizeh atzev nivze b'shas aved. To feel as a result of this dejected and despicable in his own eyes. Because of this occurrence during his avodah, during his service of Hashem, shetzarech liyos b'simcha rabba, for one service ought to be a joyous experience. It ought to be performed with simcha rabba, with great joy and passion and ecstasy. So to have a feeling of melancholy and this abhorrence in your own, and a sense of worthlessness in your own eyes is totally antithetical to the mode that must characterize one's learning and one's prayer. Ella adirab, not only should he not be downhearted and depressed as a result of it, quite on the contrary, yischazik yes, he should draw fresh strength. And he should intensify his determination with all his power. Bekavanas hatfila, in the concentration and meditation of davening. Bechedva v'simcha yisera, with even greater joy and greater gladness. And this immediately begs the question, why greater joy and greater gladness than if he wouldn't have had it? The Alter Rebbe says, not only should these alien, extraneous thoughts not deter you, not bog you down, not plunge you into despair and the melancholy, on the contrary, this itself should become a catalyst for a deeper sense of joy, gladness, satisfaction, and sense of fulfillment. So the Alter Rebbe says, "Besumaya libay," because man must realize, he must place to his heart, which means he must experience the realization, "Ki nefilas hamachshav zara," that the foreign thought which occurred to him, he may haklipesh abachol hasmali, derives from the klipa, from the shell existing in the left part of the heart. Which in the case of the Beinoni, the possible man, the ordinary man, this shell wages war against the divine, transcendental soul within him. A human being is not a one-souled creature, but has an essential duality, a multiplicity. He has a soul and he also has a shell that covers up this consciousness. And the shell has a life and a personality of its own. Essentially, it's a shell. By way of illustration, Alter Rebbe keeps on using the term klipa. And the reason he keeps on using the term klipa is because if you can always identify these urges and these thoughts with the term klipa, so you already solved most of the problem. They say, for example, when you're extremely angry, you get into an angry mood, any healthy person will tell you, don't make important decisions at those times. Sometimes you get into an extremely bad mood. Don't make decisions, real decisions. Don't make a decision where you're going to live when you're very angry, or which school you're going to put your children into, or whom you're going to marry, and so on and so forth. When you want to make a decision what you're going to eat, no, also not a good idea. But nish gefährlich. But serious decisions you shouldn't make. Why not? Simple. When you're in that mode, you're not experiencing yourself. The anger becomes a shell that isolates your conscious present thoughts and feelings from your own real passions and convictions. When you're extremely depressed, it's the same situation. You're not in touch with what you want, with what you desire. That means there is a shell that now dominated you and isolated you from yourself. Man always has that klipa. In a stronger degree, in a lesser degree. That is, the klipa says the Alter Rebbe, he must realize that this alien thought came from the klipa element. We have a soul and we also have an ego, which is a shell, which is a husk that covers up and does not allow us to experience firsthand always. Doesn't allow us always to experience firsthand the inner passions, convictions, desires, yearnings, aspirations, goals, and missions which our soul really is connected to. So man must realize that the occurrence of this thought came from that element. Now it's known that it is the way of those who wage war against each other, of those who combat each other, as well as similarly those that wrestlers with one another. Everyone knows the normal, ordinary occurrence in these situations, that kasha echad misgaber, that when one is gaining the upper hand, as I hasheni misamet lizgaber gamkin b'chol ma'amatzi keichai, so the other likewise exerts itself or himself with all the resources of his strength in order to prevail. People experience it often, even if it's not a major fight or wrestle. If you're having, let's say, an arm wrestle with someone, so in the beginning, you might not give it all you got, but then suddenly, when he gets you, when he exerts his strength and he almost got you down, so suddenly you discover within yourself new resources and you really begin giving it all you got because you sense danger, you sense the possibility of defeat, so now you counterattack him with all your strength. And this is the normal occurrence. As long as the other person is not really fighting, doesn't put up a good fight, so you don't have to put up a good fight. The moment you're really challenged and there's possibility of real defeat, so the other party increases and accelerates his or her resources with all his might and intensity and so forth to defeat the other party. Therefore, when the divine soul exerts itself and musters all its strength in davening, so the klipa, the shell in man, too gathers strength to counter it, to confuse it and to topple it, to defeat it, to make it fall, to make the divine soul fall by means of a foreign thought, shallah, of its own from the clip. Yeah. One moment, it will become all clear. One moment. The Alter Rebbe says, not only should you not become downhearted by these thoughts, depressed, on the contrary, you should accelerate your determination, you should continue davening with greater joy. So you're asking, as the Alter Rebbe asks, how can one say that? So he explains. In the Beinoni's life, there is a battle. There is a battle between two consciousnesses, between two identities, the soul and the ego, the inner consciousness and the shell, your inner identity and passion, and your husk personality that conceals that and attempts to isolate you and to cover you. To isolate you from yourself and to cover up and to conceal your inner vitality, your inner divine spiritual essence. When you're davening, davening is an exercise of unity with the divine consciousness. The animal egotistical soul will not remain silent. It throws in an alien thought. Says the Alter Rebbe, not only should this not bog you and tie you down and plunge you into a state of despair, on the contrary, this demonstrates that you got in touch with your divine soul. Your animal soul sensed danger. It sensed a potential for defeat, so it accelerated its efforts to regain its powerful position in your life. This machshava zara is a reaction. The fact that there was a reaction means that there was something it felt it had to react to. The derech hanilchamim is that when one of the parties is gaining the upper hand, the other party feels, senses a threat, now it really begins fighting. The fact that you have this machshava zara is not because your davening is worthless. On the contrary, because you were davening, because your animal soul felt, hey, this person is having a moment where he's getting in touch with his divinity, with his selflessness, with his idealism, with his spirituality, with the good, noble, transcendental, and holy part in him. If it wouldn't be davening, no. Our positions are equal. Now suddenly the Nefesh HaBahamas senses its danger. So all of its buzzes go off, and it will be feirish. It will explicitly impart and throw in all of these types of extraneous thoughts and impulses into your consciousness. Lahapila, to topple, to defeat the Nefesh HaLikis, to regain its position. And from this we understand that the greater the impulse, the more powerful the extraneous thought, the greater the joy you should experience. Because that means that you were getting in touch with your divine soul in a deeper way. And therefore it's felt that it has to place into your consciousness a much more overwhelming thought. The Alter Rebbe elsewhere, in another discourse, presents a vivid demonstration to this dynamic. He says, you see practically, he says this in Lakota Torah, that during davening, people experience thoughts that they didn't think about for weeks and months. You didn't think about something, ich weiß, for months. And suddenly you're middle of davening, and you're concentrating on the words, and you're thinking, and you're connecting with your soul, you're attempting to connect with Hashem, and suddenly you begin doubting whether the color of the tie that you were wearing during an appointment you had 3 weeks ago with a distinguished person was a good color. Apparently it bothers you. So you begin thinking about it. Why, when you were eating dinner last night, didn't you think about it? You thought about this for a moment after you left his office, and never again. Because the objective issue is not what's really perturbing you. There is that type of situation, we'll soon see. That is not what's bothering you. Therefore, you can sleep well without thinking about it. When you're in the middle of business, you didn't even dream to think about it. But now when you're davening, you're getting in touch with the divinity and transcendence in you, so the klipa, or the cover element, which is part of our chemistry, is the challenging element of our chemistry, senses danger. So you know what it will do? If it doesn't have anything in your conscious, it will enter into your subconscious and it will dig something up just in order to confuse you, to topple you during your davening. And suddenly you'll become worried about issues that didn't worry you in the morning, didn't worry you yesterday, didn't worry you 2 days ago, but suddenly they become the biggest concern. Abi, you shouldn't be able to daven. And here we must clarify. There is another situation which the Alter Rebbe is not discussing here explicitly. where a person simply cannot stop thinking about something. He begins davening, and he cannot take off his mind a certain issue that's bothering him. That's not bothering him only during davening. That's perturbing him or her all day long, all night long, including during davening. This is not a machshava zara that's occurring to him because he is davening. It's occurring to him even while he is davening. This Dalter Rebbe is not talking about why, because this is not a machshava zara that occurs to you in the middle of davening. Hasna chnishtange ibn davening. You didn't begin davening yet. Or in other words, this is not a machshava zara. It's not an alien thought, alien to a davening experience. This is your present experience. It's similar to the Jew who came into the Seir of Lublin, the Holy Chayza of Lublin, and he complained that he has machshavas zaris. He has alien thoughts during davening. So the Halakh Seir of Lublin told them, machshavas zaris means that they're alien thoughts. They're outside thoughts that are coming to you. He says, these machshavas are not zaris. They're not alien. Thus is do. Then Alter Rebbe is not going to say, see, you can't confuse it. Sometimes we go stand in shul, we put on our talis and tefillin, shachas, mincha, maidev. We don't even begin to think about our soul, to think about our spirituality, to think about godliness. Here, Alter Rebbe is not going to tell you, be happy about it, because it means that your divine soul asserted itself, so therefore your animal soul threatens to defeat it. Your divine soul didn't begin to assert yourself that your animal soul should feel it has to defeat something. You're not davening yet. It's not a demonstration of your spirituality. It's a demonstration of the fact that you're incapable of removing your minds from things that are bothering you. This is not machshavas zaris. Shul, a lot of shuls have a sign. Asur, what's the lashon? Asur ladaber b'shas ha-tfilah. U'kriyas ha-tayrah. You're not allowed to talk in the middle of davening and kriyas ha-tayrah. I once visited a shul and they had a sign, Asr lehispalel b'sha'as hadibur. He now let a dove in the middle of talking. This is not a machshavas zara. How do you deal with that? That was the concept of chavav and chavzayin. How you deal with thoughts, cravings, and impulses that are disturbing you. And this is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, Erechayim, and Hilchas Tefillah. It's one of the less popular halachas. Certainly one of the less practiced halachas. In Hilchas Tefillah and Simen Sadek Ches, where the Shulchan Aruch discusses the kavana that's required in davening, the halacha tells us that prior to one's davening, he has to cleanse his mind and his heart from things that are disturbing him, that are confusing him, that are bothering him, that are not allowing him to experience any type of spiritual reality. The Ramah says that a person before davening, it's a Ramah, has to meditate on the exaltedness, on the reality of godliness, on the lowliness of the human being, and has to remove his involvement in the worldly pleasure, has to remove his involvement in the worldly pleasures from his heart. You'll ask the question, there are so many things that you have to do today. There are so many things you still have to do from yesterday. There are so many problems and challenges and struggles in your life. Those are good questions. Perek Chavav Chavzayin. In Perek Chavav, the Alter Rebbe dealt with agitation and depression over one's failures and sins. How to deal with that? That's a real thing that can disturb you. In Perek Chavav, he also discussed man's concerns over worldly affairs. Problems, even real problems. Health, family, livelihood, and so on and so forth. In Perek of Zion, that was in 26. In chapter 27, he discussed agitation that comes from experiencing your lowly condition, from your cravings, from your impulses, from your urges that are constantly threatening you and overwhelming you. How to deal with that? How to be able to retain a joy, a destiny, a focus, a happiness in life in the midst of this. Then you begin davening. Perek Chavchaz, the Alter Rebbe addresses your davening. You're not, it's not pshat, you didn't begin davening yet because you can't get your mind off something else. That's not a machshav ezara. That's another issue. Your nefesh alikis didn't assert itself yet. But then a person is davening. And then suddenly now he has a machshav ezara. So you may think that this disproves your efforts and your toil and so forth. Zagdal Tereba, on the contrary, this is a demonstration that your divine soul has asserted itself. Since it has asserted itself, therefore the animal soul feels threatened and it must assert itself. It will throw in these alien thoughts. And here the Alter Rebbe continues. And listen carefully to his words. V'loi kitos ha'aylam. Never fall prey to the error that the world makes. And this he's referring to the common error that everyone makes. Shetayim lo yichiach min nefilas ha'machshav ha'zara. Miklal shein tefilas ha'klum. Miklal shein tefilas ha'klum. When a foreign thought occurs to some people during prayer, they mistakenly conclude that their prayer is worthless, it's insignificant, it's valueless, perhaps for justified reason. If it would have had any worth, any significance, how is it that in the midst of a spiritual experience, you're suddenly overtaken and overwhelmed by a foreign, extraneous thought, or by a negative, evil, abhorrent impulse and urge? Zagdal Terebbe, they say that their tefillah is worthless. Why? She'ilu ispalel karoi v'nachin. For if one prayed properly and correctly, lo hayu neflum le'machshav ezaras. They mistakenly believe no extraneous thoughts would have arisen in his mind. Obviously. If you're really attached to something, nothing else manages to disturb you. L'chor, apparently, this is a good tine. It's a good, it's a correct view. It's an objective view. He says no. Va'em is haya k'divrayim. The truth would be as they were saying. They would be correct. Im haysa nefesh achas levada. If there would be one soul in you, he amispaleles v'hi amachsheves umarheres amachsheves zars. This one soul that prays would be the same soul that thinks and ponders and all on all types of extraneous thoughts. If that would be the case, you would have one consciousness in you, one soul in you, and that same soul is davening. And that same soul is pondering all these thoughts, you would certainly be correct. That if the soul was truly immersed in prayer and in learning, there would be no room within it for foreign thoughts. Avo be'emes la'amitai. But truth be told, the truth of truth is that ein shtei nefashos. In your body, in your psyche, there are embedded two consciousnesses, two souls. Each waging war against the other in a person's mind. Kol achas, each one of the souls, cheftzo ritzayna, wishes and desires, lim shel boy, to rule the mind, v'liyais hamayach memulam emena levada, and to pervade the mind exclusively. All thoughts of Torah and awe of Hashem stem from the godly soul. All thoughts of worldly matters, of egotistical, self-centered, and worldly matters derive from the animal zoological soul in man. Raksha alekis melubashesba. Except that the godly soul is clothed within it, within the animal soul. If you would have one soul, if man would be one-dimensional, Yes. If in middle of prayer or learning you experience extraneous thoughts that have no connection whatsoever to the spiritual experience, or negative impulses and cravings, that would indeed be a demonstration that your davening is worthless. But the Alter Rebbe says, Be'emes Lamita, you have two souls that are fighting with each other, that are in constant battle with each other. When one asserts itself, the other must respond. It doesn't want to die. It doesn't want to be defeated. It doesn't want to be buried. It must respond. A person has in him two elements that have independent characters. On one side, we have a consciousness from which stem all types of unhealthy cravings and lusts, all of our fears, our insecurities, our doubts, our extraneous thoughts. They come from one consciousness, a zoological, earthly, animal consciousness. On the other hand, a person has a divine, transcendental consciousness which produces all of feelings and thoughts of sacredness, of idealism, courage, serenity. It's two distinct consciousnesses on one hand, which in a way are not responsible one for another, but on the other hand, they're intertwined and intermingled with each other. If they would not be interconnected with each other, fine. So you're davening with Yenefesh HaLekis, and Yenefesh HaBahamas is experiencing Machshav HaZaris. Says the Alter Rebbe, HaLekis Melubeshes Bo. So when a person falls prey to a craving of the animal soul, he takes a sacred consciousness and he schleps it down within him. As in the end of chapter 24, the Alter Rebbe described a situation where a human being who actually utters a lie or violates the divine will is taking the head of the king and placing the very head of the king in a place of filth, of human fertilizer, of human waste, because the Nefesh HaLekis is totally connected, interrelated, and interconnected with the Nefesh HaBahamas. The two form one unit that create our persona. Notwithstanding the fact that essentially we're dealing with two identities. So the Machshavei Zareis in the middle of davening don't have to cause a breakdown. Don't have to cause a sense of the spirit and valuelessness when you realize what is going on. And here we have to make one point that the Alter Rebbe takes for granted if you already learned 27 chapters of Tanya. But since this is sometimes our greatest challenge, the Alter Rebbe doesn't even feel he has to address it. Some people don't attribute to their davening any significance whatsoever, not even significance in the sense that machshavas zaras during davening have any meaning. It's b'chlal not an experience. The Alter Rebbe is here addressing a Jew who's perturbed by the fact that he's davening, and the Machshava Zaris enter into his mind. So he tells you, you asserted your divine soul, for the Nefesh HaBahamas was threatened.